The views and opinions of the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the Dennis Daniel Show, the Altus Explosion Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, or its affiliates. Two old lefties make a right turn with commentary on the world, national, and local happenings of today.
And from the Cash Hamburger Big Bargain Bar Studios, where you save cash with cash, you're listening to the Dennis Effect Podcast. I am Doc.
I'm Slappy Whitey.
And I'm 3D the producer.
Yeah, Slappy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Had some dental work done, so if I sound weird, it's not because I am, but there's something else going on.
No more weird than usual.
Well, I was going to say
I appreciate that.
I was going to say with that hat, if you had like a little growth of beard, you'd look like that Charlie Parkinson from KORN on Hee Haw.
Well, thank you, Doc. That uplifted my spirit.
Well, here's something that'll uplift your spirits. The whistleblower. You know, I'm kind of
you mean that person that don't exist?
Well, he does exist. I kind of did some research this week, and I did find out who the whistleblower is. They're saying he's the one guy, but it's not him. You know who it really is?
Who?
Cato Kaelin.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I believe that.
Yeah, because he had a bungalow on the south side of the White House.
Oh, my.
And he kind of listened in on it. And, you know, Cato's the whistleblower.
And they found some panties right outside of his apartment.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
okay.
So it kind of like just kind of goes into that.
Well, I believe anything, so yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. But what a week this has been.
I thought Epstein was a whistleblower, you know? Epstein didn't kill himself. Epstein didn't blow his own whistle.
Well, that's the thing about Epstein, man. You know, those two guards, and you know, they happen to be black, a guy and a girl, they're going to take the fall because they were away from their duties for 8 hours, you know, on the internet shopping, roaming around. Who knows what's sleeping? Who knows what they were doing?
But
no one's bringing up the fact that Epstein was in there with a sheet on his bed, and they had taken his roommate out that day before, and the rules of the prison say you got to have a roommate. So
maybe he just did it because he found out his pillow was a 300 thread count.
I think what's
happening now is one dick.
I know one thing. There's a lot of rich, powerful men right now that are breathing a sigh of relief.
Going, man, got that bullet.
So anyway,
the whistleblower, you know, this stuff, you know, you're supposed to be able to face your accuser. This whistleblower thing is bogus. Where you're allowed to come, you know, blow the whistle, so, as they say, and you get to be secret and you collect a whole bunch of money. And then, you know, what's up with that?
It's a spinoff of that great movie from the 70s, you know, All the President's Men. This is All the President's Men.
Yeah, right. And you know what? They keep using Nixonian phrases on CNN and MSNBC, like All the President's Men and stuff. Yeah. They're trying to compare this to what happened with Nixon.
They want to party like it's 1973.
And here's the thing. You can't impeach the president unless you've got a crime. He hasn't been charged with any kind of crime. And he's not going to be.
Well, and I'm thinking they probably realize this, but they just want to kind of they'll have that impeachment thing. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like saying, answer yes or no, do you still beat your wife? You know, well, no, yeah.
Well, Nancy Pelosi turned this thing over to Adam Schiff because she knew it was a dead duck. And even if they impeach him in the House, it's not going to get through the Senate. So she just let Adam Schiff go out there on a limb, and like he does, lies constantly. The dude is he's a chronic liar. Now, the thing is, after this is over, Adam Schiff will go back to Cali and start fighting forest fires. You won't hear from him again. So he's hanging on in desperation as long as he can.
Well, I think he's going to hang out with John Lovitz and the liar guy. You know,
that's the ticket. That was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, he's kind of like, and then he'll hang out with Morgan Fairchild.
But, you know, the whistleblower thing, that's bogus, and I think everybody in America just has a fair mind thinks that's bogus. Anyway,
does anyone else get Adam Schiff mixed up with the DA from like the first few seasons of Law and Order? Adam Schiff?
Was he really? But you know what, Adam Schiff, aka Bobblehead. If you watch him sit up there, he looks straight ahead when people are attacking him, and I'm just waiting for somebody to flick him on the side of the head, and his head just go bobbing.
No, Slappy, that's terrible. If he was to have a bobblehead, the bobblehead would have to bobble less than his actual head.
Or they put them on the, in the back of the package tray of the car, so that, you know, in the back window. So
that guy is a trip, man. But hey, you know the guy that's giving me a hard time?
Who's that?
Eric Swalwell, the king of bad analogies. The dude, man, can you come up with an analogy that actually fits?
Is he one from California? Or
I forget. Well, Swalwell. Most of these guys that are out to get Trump are from Cali.
Yeah.
Or New York.
Yeah, one of the two. It was like.
But hey, speaking of New York, that little chick from New York, the Republican rep, Elise Stefanik.
Yeah.
Boy, she was throwing some shade at Adam Schiff.
Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah,
he treated her mean. See, if Donald Trump treated a woman like that, they'd be all over him on CNN and stuff. But Adam Schiff basically disrespected
Democrat,
her.
Well, Democrat, that's a resume enhancer.
Because she's catching all kind of hell from the left because she's a new rising star on the right.
Well, hopefully she can take it.
She can. She mean. I saw her today on TV, and she's talking some crap, man. I'm telling you. But,
good.
But I'm going to tell you something, Doc. The deep state does exist, and I'll tell you why.
Do they have a football team? Deep State U?
Yeah, Deep State University, man. I don't play for them, but I don't even support them. But the FBI bunch, Comey, McCabe, and that bunch, they tried to take the press down. The CIA bunch, led by Brennan and Clapper, they tried to take the press down. Now you got the Ukraine bunch, Holmes and Hill and Vindman. They're all mad because their boss got fired, and it hurt their chances of moving up in the world.
Right, because they were expecting a different outcome.
Yeah. So it's all, you know, especially that Vindman guy. You can tell about that guy. He's mad because he thought he ran everything. His testimony, he even said he was advisor to the president. The guy never spoke to the president.
Kind of like Alexander Haig.
Yeah, pumped himself up.
I'm in charge.
And then when he realized he wasn't, now he's mad.
Yeah.
He's mad. He's not only going to take his football home. He's going to try to deflate everybody's car tires.
So, but, you know, somehow I'm just kind of imagining there's like 9 squares, and you got a picture each one, kind of like the Brady Bunch. You call it the Deep State Bunch. You know, here's the story.
But, you know, the witnesses are bombed out at the impeachment thing.
Yeah.
Got all this vindictive testimony, which is mostly hearsay, almost all of. And that Holmes guy who claims he heard the president say distinctly he wanted to know about the investigation. But they asked him, what did the press say after that? I don't know. What was he saying before that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all you remember is that one sentence? And you crystal clear on that?
Kind of like Hunter Biden's interview.
That Holmes guy was a piece of crap, man.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Then you got.
Well, the thing is when Adolf Schiffler was accusing Trump of intimidating the witness.
Right.
How do you do that when you're tweeting somebody and somebody is in the court, you know, or in testimony? How are you being intimidated?
You know who intimidated the witness? Adam Schiff, when he told the witness that Donald Trump was talking trash about him.
Yeah, you
he brought the whole thing up.
Meanwhile, who's that ambassador? Somberland?
Sondland, a.k.a. Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
That guy's a trip, man.
Well, his wife's like some kind of real estate mogul up in Oregon or something. Well, apparently they were boycotting her business. It was started by a Democrat.
Oh.
One of the congressmen. Somewhere, I can't remember, didn't quite catch the name. Did he?
I saw
he's
that.
The one that started it.
That Democratic, point, yeah, he
you know,
said he,
so that's
yeah.
intimidation.
Right.
You know?
Now, but see, Simon, at first he didn't do nothing to help the press, but then he closed it out. He was nothing but helpful for the press. He made it clear over and over and over. The president told me, I don't want nothing. I don't know no quid pro quo. I don't. Did I say that right? And I just tell the Ukrainian president do the right thing. So Simon. And I tell you, you put the Uncle Fester outfit on him, that boy is Uncle Fester made over.
I mean, but all the witnesses, you know, you would have thought that Sergeant Schultz was testifying. I know nothing.
I know nothing.
Yeah.
I heard a lot, but
yeah.
I don't know nothing.
I know.
And, you know, and another thing about the left wing, they always got to have these catchphrases and attached names. Like, now they got the Three Amigos, which is not Chase Martin and Short, but, you know, Volker, Perry, and Sondland. You know, and these guys are the guys behind the scenes that's running the rogue detente for Donald Trump.
Yeah, more like Curly Moe and Larry.
But have you noticed how convenient Rudy Giuliani is hiding out? No one's seen him or heard from him. Donald Trump told him to disappear or he was going to
go hit the Virgin Islands or something. You know, somewhere just kind of go where there's no... nothing going on, buddy. Yeah.
No.
kind of like kind of like the Godfather, you know.
But that, what about that Democratic debate?
Man, I tell you what, I caught a little bit of it, and it was like it was not watchable.
It was, first of all, everybody took their round. We got to impeach the president. They all got that in there.
It was like,
but then you had Tulsi. She ain't getting along with nobody. Her party hates her. Dick Hillary hates her. Now she's about to have a slugfest with Kamala Harris.
Man, wouldn't you give money pay per view to see that?
Oh, like I would love to ring? See them rip each other's.
You know, kind of like just, you know, they could put on their outfits, kind of like WWE divas.
Tulsi's one of my fantasy politicians, so
yeah. I mean,
rip
just
her clothes
right
off.
She'd come, you know, she could come up with the people's elbow or something. You know,
that might be interesting.
Like the Rock.
But I'm taking Tulsi against all other women because she's been in war.
Yeah.
And she's been in a combat zone, and she probably wrestled around with some soldiers a few times, so I think she's probably gonna whoop any of them women.
Yeah.
But now, and then you got Booker going after Joe over pot. Pot's still calling. I mean, Biden's still calling pot a gateway drug.
Well, I think maybe there was also when I listened, they were kind of arguing the merits of, you know, Biden is old school with tops papers, and Booker was the zigzag guy.
Oh yeah.
You know,
they were kind of,
that was part of that,
the main content.
Yeah, part of that back and forth too was, you know, the quality of the paper that you're rolling with.
But Biden, that guy is a gaffe fest. How can you expect that guy to be the prez, man? He can't even make it through a debate without totally completely melting down.
Kind of like Mel Brooks was the governor in Blazing Saddles. If you remember, the governor on the back of his shirt. Yeah. He put on the back of Biden's suit, president for prez.
Well, you got wealth tax Warren on her usual rant. That woman, she should be in advertisements for coffee because she is hyped. But the thing is, everybody keeps telling her, your numbers don't work. Your numbers don't work.
She doesn't care. She doesn't seem to care. Doesn't seem to bother.
She's going to somehow notice she's going to take that $2 out of every $100 that the rich people have, and she thinks that's going to solve all the world's problems.
It's going to end up having to take the $2 and give it back to them and take everything, take the 98. Because...
And the way Democrats waste money, I don't care how much money you give them, they're going to waste it.
Yeah.
But you got anything else on that? One thing I noticed, that in the MSNBC debate panel was all women. Headed up by the infamous Rachel
Roswell,
Maddow.
Rachel Madcow.
Yeah, Madcow Maddow, man.
Yeah.
Now, there's a woman that gets on there and touts conspiracy.
I mean, yeah, Roswell, that's why they call her Roswell Rachel.
Her and Adam Schiff, they can throw it out there, boy.
They can put a best hits on KTEL, you know.
But if Donald survives this, though, I'm serious.
Yeah.
First of all, he needs to get rid of Giuliani. I told people a long time ago, just like when he got Sessions, these are bad picks for him. Giuliani never shuts up. The guy runs his mouth constantly, doesn't think. He's a lot like Donald. He just runs his mouth off, don't think before he...
Yeah.
So, needs to get rid of him. Donald needs to get... He's just hired in one chick as one of his advisors. And he's had women around him to advise him. So maybe he won't be... Maybe he'll tone him down just a little bit.
Yeah, a kinder gentler.
If Donald survives this and the economy... Things like it is at 28,000. Can you imagine the Dow at 28,000? I never saw it in my lifetime at 27. Now it's at 28. So I don't care who you are. You're making money if you got any kind of 401 or pension or stock. You're making money.
Yeah.
So if the economy don't tank and Donald can get past this, he's going to get elected again.
It'll be, But hey, but speaking of candidates, have you heard of the new candidate that Democratic candidate to put his hat in the ring?
Bloomberg or
Deval Patrick?
Yeah, the guy where nobody showed up for his
two people. Yeah, here's his theme, his campaign theme. This campaign will only have meaning if you are with us. In the first campaign, but two people showed up, a camera person.
I saw a picture on the news of a big a place with all kind of empty chairs in.
Yeah, the one camera that was there took that picture.
Can you talk about embarrassment?
You kind of think that because they were kind of talking that he's like Obama's choice,
right?
To kind of come in and figure out what's going on here. You know, try to get these, you know, squeeze out, you know, Uncle Joe and the rest of Petticoat Junction.
Nobody wants 8 more years of Obama.
I'm kind of thinking, yeah, you're right. I mean, this guy's a Harvard grad. He's, you know, he went to Harvard Business School and, you know, another.
Nobody showed up, dude. His kiss race is over.
Yeah,
it's
this guy.
Over.
Came and went.
Okay.
Like,
hey, how about some international news? Buddy?
Yeah. Enough of this.
You know, we talk about the Russians and the Ukrainians, you know, and the big deal going on with them. You know, they're at war and Ukraine's trying to hang on to their independence and stuff. Well, about a year ago, the Russians seized a Ukrainian ship. Did you know that?
No.
Well, they finally returned it here about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
But all the weapons were gone. And strangely, all the toilets were gone.
Probably all the food, too.
Well, if there was any food out of it.
Yeah.
But all the toilets were gone. Like, don't they have any toilets in Russia? They had to steal them off the Ukrainian ship?
You're thinking, you know, maybe they could, you know, strike a deal with Kohler or something and make some toilets.
But ain't that kind of weird, man?
That is kind of weird.
No.
Because, it left like those 5-gallon buckets from the Home Depot for them.
That's what they left. But what about this? A shopper in Thailand. He went into a wine store. He opened $60 worth of wine, various bottles, and sampled them all and then set them on the floor as he sampled them. Finally, he settled on an Argentina white wine, and he strolled out of the store. And that was, nobody arrested him. Nobody tried to stop. He just went in there and had him. And I saw the film of the guy. He's taking one bottle after another, opening it, drinking out of it. Don't like that one. Sit down.
I wonder if he was an important person in Thailand.
No, he just looked like a regular little nobody.
Yep.
Okay, how about this? Did you know that Istanbul, Turkey, is the only place on Earth, only city on Earth, that sits on two different continents?
No. Is that right, guy?
Yeah. Asia and Europe at the same time. I did not know that.
Wow. It's
weird fact.
It's
the only city on Earth that does that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one. Elon Musk. He broke out his Cybertruck.
Elon's coming.
The low-end price is $39,000. This thing's supposed to be really innovative. It gets, like, super gas mileage and everything.
Yeah.
And also has, you know, shatterproof, unbreakable, you know, windows so somebody can't shoot you while you drive down the road, you know? So they brought it out at the big showroom. They got the big crowd there, and they're gonna show it off. So the guy that designed it was a guy by the name of Franz von Holzhausen. So Elon Musk handed him a metal ball. It, you know, looked like a softball, but it was metal. He hauled off and welded into this window, shattered the hell out of it. I'm like, okay. So he handed him another Dodge. He did the same thing to the back window. It wasn't just one window. It was two windows that broke. So I'm thinking, Elon Musk is the guy that's telling us he's going to send us out into space so we can take a little one-time trip around the planet, like it's a cruise, like take a helicopter ride or something.
Take a space ride around the Statue of Liberty or something.
Yeah, so you can get out there and the glass on the spaceship crashes and cracks. You're going to die. That's what's going to happen.
Wow.
But I would say, Elon, test it a little bit more before you bring it out there and demonstrate.
Well, I think he also got a, was it, there was also like he brought out an off-road vehicle that runs electric.
Oh.
It's like, what are you going to do if you get out in the middle and you run out of electric? What are you?
You Flintstone it, baby. You cut a hole in the bottom and you put your feet out on the ground. And you. Hopefully these cars are very lightweight if you're going to be doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, here, speaking of international, I got one here for you.
Okay.
We got a 9-year-old Belgian boy.
Yeah.
Lawrence Simons. He likes TV and his pet dog. You know, pretty much anything normal 9-year-old would like. But he also wants to make artificial organs. And he's actually about to graduate from the university, the Eindhoven University of Technology in Belgium, in electrical engineering, 9 years old.
He's one of them savants or something.
Yeah, you know, 9 years old, I was, you know, watching Underdog and laughing at fart jokes.
9 years old, I think I was still picking my nose and eating it.
Probably, it could be, you know, but so he's currently studying electrical engineering, you know.
I was probably having a hard time wiping correctly.
He probably did it wipe forward or backwards. Which way?
Well, I always forget to use toilet paper. So.
Oh, is that what that's for?
Yeah. So,
but 9 years old.
Years old. That's crazy how some of these kids nowadays are so they're young. And
but sometimes these prodigies like this, they kind of like burn out by the time they're 18. And the next thing you know, they're kind of working. You know, they're working at Starbucks and collecting bus tickets for a hobby.
You know, it could be, you know, your brain is a delicate thing. It can go off any time, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bad Company said you are a shooting star.
Well, let's get into the sports world for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
What about this lame NFL Colin Kaepernick love affair? Well, for some reason, the NFL thinks they're obligated to get him a job.
Well, he's afraid they're going to sue him again.
Dude, that is so lame because there's all kind of players that would love to have the NFL schedule them a private one-on-32 meeting. I think only 8 teams actually showed up, though. But
yeah,
Colin Kaepernick moved.
Well, it's because he moved it
to another place because he's trying to get a better video made.
Well, it's kind of like you're having it on a Saturday. You know, that's kind of strange because half of the coaches are away.
But the NFL,
get ready for a game.
My problem is not with Kaepernick because he's going to take whatever he can get and make whatever he can make. But the NFL is totally lame. It is totally lame. But I call Kaepernick America's favorite anti-American leftist martyr.
Yeah, he is a martyr.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. What about the Astros getting caught cheating? The 2017 world champs. They're talking about maybe taking their title away from them.
Kind of like a Reggie Bush thing, you know.
But yeah, you know, they got cameras out there and they're stealing people's signs.
Sign stealing has been part of the game for.
Well, you're just not allowed to do it electronically. You're allowed to do it all you want. Just don't do it with camera.
Well, maybe yeah, maybe that's kind of where you're kind of going off the reservation if you do that. But I mean, you know, they've been looking like they're scratching their butt means a slider's coming. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, yeah.
Well, you've been eating too many sliders, right? Yeah. Hey, Flashers, two National fans. Julianne Rose and Lauren Summer, and I saw these girls, they are smoking hot. They got lifetime bans from the Major League Baseball for flashing Astro pitcher Gerrit Cole during Game 5 of the World Series.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Gerrit Cole wasn't complaining, though.
I imagine he was.
I guarantee
he
was not complaining.
Yeah, it kind of threw him a curveball for a moment, though.
Hey, here's Myles Garrett from Cleveland. Everybody saw that. We clonked Pittsburgh's quarterback on top of the head.
Well, they said he was just trying to put his helmet back on.
Is that what he was doing?
Wrong direction.
Well, then I'm letting him off the hook then. I'm believing
well,
that.
Well, that's the story.
I
now,
told you
whether
I believe
whether
anything.
Whether it's true, who knows?
Well, I told you I believe anything, so I'm taking it.
But, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, being in court for possession of drugs and the lawyer saying, my client was just taking the drugs back to the police station.
That's right. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, when you pulled him over.
But he got a lifetime. He got the season-ending suspension, which
yeah.
will probably carry over the next year. I don't think it should, for clobbering Rudolph with his own helmet. But you know, to show you how people will make money out of anything, there's a store in Cleveland now selling T-shirts that say on the front, "Pittsburgh started it."
Probably wear them at the well. The next game's in Pittsburgh, though.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah, I'm guessing if you're a Browns fan, you wear one of them shirts in it. You may not come out in one piece.
You probably won't.
You might get clobbered over the head with something.
Okay, here's a sad note.
Yeah.
I remember this guy too. Ex NFL kicker Fred Cox, a Viking.
Yes.
Dead at 80. This guy was the guy who invented the Nerf football. I did not know that.
After that kind of, you know, it was nothing but like broken bones and busted furniture from, you know, stone and drunk people who thought they could play football inside the house.
That's right, because that was the legacy of Nerf football.
Yeah. So,
broken furniture.
Yeah, broken furniture and occasional broken arms.
Broken bodies, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So what do you got, anything sports-wise over there?
Ah, sports-wise, wasn't really. I mean, nothing sports-wise. I got entertainment news.
Okay, break it down.
Well, you know, you remember John and Kate Gosselin from the John and Kate Plus 8?
Yes.
Well, now John Gosselin is making a claim that Kate has abused her children.
Uh-oh.
To the point where, you know, they're needing psychological help and the such.
Oh.
But, you know, John Gosselin, he was kind of a pioneer. He was like one of the first guys on TV to lose his man card. Because that guy was,
you trying to say she deballed him?
He was already. I think he was deballed before she even. Because he was just, you know, you watch that show and it was like, dude, grow a pair.
Well, that's the thing nowadays, man. If you're going to be a man, you got to be a woman.
Well, pretty much. So I mean, you know,
what else you got in the entertainment world?
American Idol contestant Antonella Barbara. Okay. She was one of the top 16 on the sixth season.
Yeah.
just sentenced to 45 months in federal prison for possessing 2 pounds of fentanyl.
Ooh, that's bad stuff.
Yeah, she was kind of like a drug mule, apparently, going to pick it up, you know. And
that's what happens to those American Idol contestants that don't make it. They fall off the world.
But I was trying to think of how many, you can count on a number of your hands, how many people moved on from American Idol and actually made it big? You got
not many.
Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, wasn't she on Idol?
Yeah.
Who's the other big?
That Clay Aiken who had a little bit of a run.
Clay Aiken, he kind of went the way of Adam Lambert.
Yeah, well, Adam Lambert's fronting for Queen, so.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah, and kicking some butt, man.
Yeah, it was the other one.
I actually liked Adam Lambert. I thought that guy was really awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very flamboyant, but, you know.
So was Freddie.
Great talent, that's right.
Who was the other one? Fantasia, or?
Yeah, she's
kind of on the fringe.
Considering all the people that's come through that show,
yeah.
Very limited amount.
Yeah, I mean, on your hand, you can count the numbers on your hand, you know. It's like these people, you know, they all got dreams.
Well, now she'll get to perform in prison for a long time.
Oh, yeah, she'll be singing a tune.
Well, you were thinking something, you just ain't brave enough to say it. I know. What else you got?
Hey, we know they're the producer, actually, kind of speaking of Freddie Mercury, the producer of Bohemian Rhapsody,
yeah,
is going to he's announced plans to produce a Michael Jackson movie about Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and I think they found the guy that's going to play Michael Jackson.
Yeah, sort of said it was Kevin Spacey. Because he didn't have to do much research, and you know, he kind of followed himself around for
how dare you insult Michael like that.
Who'd you hear it was?
Oh no, and I've heard that they found the guy, but I don't
know. Okay.
I just saw a little glimpse of that today. That's pretty fresh news, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, you and I are old and slow, so we're probably talking about shit today.
Yeah, we're on the cutting edge here, you know. You heard it here first.
What else you got? I got a couple of entertainment things.
Yeah, give me some entertainment. What you
are
got?
Are you done with yours?
Yeah, I'm entertained out.
Well, here's a strange odd couple. Kanye West and Joel Osteen.
Yeah, I kind of heard about that.
Kanye, self-proclaimed God's greatest musical creation, performed at Osteen's 17,000-seat megachurch.
Oh, it's a big one. Out in Colorado or somewhere.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I thought it was in Texas. Maybe it isn't.
I think you're right. I think it is in Texas.
But anyway, so that's cool, though. You know, if you're pumping up Jesus, yep. I'm cool with that, bro.
He was doing like Belushi in the church and the Blues Brothers when he was backflipping all that. I've seen the light!
He saw something, man.
He saw that when he's flipping. You know.
I think he saw green. Okay. Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to be, I'm predicting, that will be the movie that they will compare to Simon X. That's got to be and will be one of the most boring movies you ever saw. There is no way you're going to make a Mr. Rogers movie exciting. No way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, after we're done here, I'm about to play you. I got a little clip of Gilbert Gottfried and doing a little Mr. Rogers thing. You can't play it on. It's a family friendly show. You can't play it, but I got to play this for you afterwards.
Tom Hanks likes to play them offbeat roles, like you know, Forrest Gump in the Castaways, you know, where he's out there talking to the whatever that was, a soccer ball or something. I don't know what it was. But hey, speaking of Castaways, you know, so that's how I transitioned right into that. In North Carolina, big hurricane storm, you know, rolling through, and three cows got stranded, you know, off land, and water was rising,
mm-hmm.
and they swam almost 5 miles. Okay, they knew cows could swim.
Yeah,
they didn't know these cows could swim. They swam 5 miles till they finally found land to get on. Now, they found the cows and they wanted to rescue them,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to take them back to where they came from. So they're trying to figure out how they're going to get them back. So Boeing offered to give them a ride back on a 737, but the cows said, "Hell no,
no.
We'd rather swim." All right, anyway.
I guess it was just too much at stake going on there.
Anyway, so what else you got, bro?
Let's see here. Well, I do have now. There were a couple other time passages.
Well, let's hear them.
Yesterday, Michael J. Pollard. Oh, if you remember from Bonnie and Clyde and
strange little actor guy.
Yeah, he was always in those little strange little roles. Yeah, passed away at the age of 80.
Wow, I didn't realize he was that old.
Yes, and also here's one. Maria Perego, 95 years old. She was the creator of Topo Gigio.
Oh, Ed Sullivan loved Topo Gigio.
Topo Gigio was big on Ed.
Oh,
you know?
Man, he had him on there all the time.
Yeah, she created the character.
Wow.
And apparently, Topo's still big in Italy.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, he looks a little, you know, he's a little baggier, you know, the eye, a little baggier under the eyes and stuff. And, you know, there was that, you know, the lawsuit he had with the female cat, you know, they had to kind of swept that under the rug. So.
Well, he's had a hip replacement and
kind of like Krusty the Clown, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, there's big, but he's still going strong.
Yeah,
does shows. County fairs or something like that.
But I remember him on Ed Sullivan every week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was such a cute man. I never could understand what he was saying, but it was like, okay. So that's what it's like in Italy.
Yeah.
Well,
what else you got?
That's about it, man.
How about some royal rubbish?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
you know how we love to
royal,
talk about the
news.
Queen and all those hillbillies in over there, and we can go to
England.
We're barred from England, so we know that.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah, if you're listening in England, we love you.
We talk about the Queen and how she runs Buckingham Palace like Hitler ran Germany, you know, iron fisted all the way.
Yeah.
You better not cross the Queen. Ask Princess Diana. Okay, bad joke. All right. Here's some Queen rules. The Queen must be addressed as Your Majesty. Men must bow at the neck and women must curtsy. All gifts that are given to the royal family belong to the royal family, and the Queen will decide what to do with them. Okay, she travels with 34 people, including her doctor and a fresh supply of blood. Okay, no autographs, no selfies. You can't say toilet around it, you gotta say lavatory.
How about the loo?
Your Majesty,
I gotta go to the loo.
You can't say perfume, you gotta say scent.
Scent.
Dress code, nail polish, one color and one color only, all the way from polish to shoes. She controls what everybody wears, okay? Christmas Day weigh-in, before and after Christmas lunch, you get weighed. Because way back in the early 1900s, I think it was King Henry VII, decided that people weren't eating enough at the big Christmas dinner. So he wanted to make sure everybody's eating, so he started just laying practice weighing everybody before it ended. That's the royal rubbish.
What if you like, you know, so I guess you might have to wait to go use the facilities so that you don't lose that weight?
It's some more rubbish. Prince Charles, I always knew this guy was a stuffed shirt. How did Princess Diana ever spend a night with this guy? Okay, they iron his shoelaces. They iron his pajamas. He don't even squeeze out his own toothpaste. A valet comes in and squeezes the toothpaste out on a toothbrush one.
Whoa.
Give me a break.
Does it? What now? Does he have a bidet, or does they have to come in and finish that too?
I don't know. Well, here's this one: the Queen and her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, they're celebrating 72 years of marriage. How do you even live that long? Must be married to somebody.
Yeah, you every day you're saying, cancer, take me away.
But it's kind of a sad celebration because they had to fire Prince Andrew, the Duke of York. Not the Duke of Earl, the Duke of York.
Duke of York.
Okay. Because he had a real close connection with Epstein.
Yeah, I heard he got caught up in it. Well, he was back in the 80s. He had that porn star, Koo Stark.
Oh, yeah, they got pictures of him with young girls and stuff.
Yeah.
So she fired him. He has no more official duties. They took away his allowance. He gets no public support of any kind. Basically, he's got to get a job.
Well, I'm sure he can get a job probably dissing mama. <You know. laughs>
Oh, yeah. If he wants to make some money, just tell on the royal family.
Oh, yeah. Write a book.
It's going to be a hoot, man.
Write a book. Just go on Entertainment Tonight or Hollywood Access.
I've always referred to the British Isles as Europeans' version of the Appalachians. So I'm sorry, man. That's just the way I feel about it.
Well, it's kind of like when the Beverly Hillbillies went over to Europe.
Right.
You know, they were kind of like just
riding
home.
They fit right in, man. Especially the teeth. Okay. Anyway, are you done? Because I got one thing to close it out.
No, yeah, I'm pretty well.
You got anything
Not that I can say.
Well, okay, here's the deal. Yeah. We're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm a historical buff. I like to bring out some history. So here's the history of the American cranberry.
I didn't know there was a history.
Oh, yeah. Actually, cranberry is one of the few indigenous fruits of America.
Also, it was a pretty good band in the 90s. You know, Dolores Reardon.
No, they weren't bad.
You know, Blinger.
They had a couple of songs I like.
That one where she's kind of like...
Anyway, getting back to the history of cranberries.
Yes.
The American Indians used them for medicine, food, and dye. And, you know, American Indians, they used everything about everything. Oh. They didn't waste nothing.
No. They were...
Now, the Pilgrims were introduced to them by the Indians in 1621. But because they hadn't started doing cane sugar yet, they weren't sweet. They just, you know, regular cranberries.
Hey.
But by 1672, the Indians and the settlers would actually eat them sweetened. Okay? In 1796, Amelia Simmons was the first one to put a cranberry recipe in a cookbook. Okay? Everybody's heard of Ocean Spray. In 1800, Ocean Spray became the first company to pick and mass produce cranberry, mass grow cranberries.
Those two are still out there.
And by 1912, Ocean Spray had multiple cranberry products, jelly, cranberry juice, stuff like that. So there's the history of the cranberry.
Well, you know, the Indians are still using the cranberry today at the casinos on the slot machines.
Yeah,
the cranberry.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
You get a buffalo chip. All right. Well, hey, I don't know, man. You ready to close it out? What about you, 3D? You usually got something snide or... A ridiculous.
No, I want to get a little philosophical.
Oh, don't go off.
You know,
tirade.
No tirade. Just, you know, give them a heartwarming message before they go into their news.
Okay, go
hey, folks, we all have fun here on The Dentist Effect, but we want to take a moment to remind you about the true reason for the season. That is, of course, family. Of course, family may be divided by politics, religion, you know, or wealth classes. But it's important to remember that at this time of the year that we all come together to celebrate what makes family great. Just being together, putting all of our differences aside just for one day so that we can all agree on one thing. Eat enough turkey to get knocked off on our overloaded tryptophan rear ends. So as we go into this very busy holiday week, not only filled with travel, shopping, a chaotic third thing I can't think of at the moment. Come on, Slava, give me this chance here. I'm trying to be heartfelt.
We want to wish you all
a very happy Thanksgiving as we end. Just take a moment to forget all of the shenanigans on Capitol Hill, all the shenanigans across the country, and just to enjoy yourselves this Thanksgiving week.
Okay, just a moment, but we'll be back to them next time.
Yeah, beat that turkey's ass real good, man.
Yeah.
All right, so for Slappy Whitey.
And Doc.
And 3D the producer.
We'll see ya.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You got it, bro.